Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
I'm going to read this morning from text 32 of chapter 5. The section that we just completed is Narada's autobiography, previous life. And this verse, text 32, begins another section. It's a section where Narada is summarizing both what is to be learned from what he described, his autobiography, and the application of that to Vyasa's service. Vyasa's a literary person. And what Prabhupada does in the purport is he extracts the principle that's being applied to the literary person and applies it to all the rest of us. It's a lead or introductory verse to a whole section that's describing dedication of activities unto the personality of Godhead. Not just dedication of the fruits, as is karma yoga, but dedication of the activity in devotion to the personality of Godhead. That's what he wants Vyas to write about. And that's what the Bhagavatam is. It's combining our activity with the process of hearing and chanting, so that through the process of hearing and chanting, consciousness can be elevated so that our activity can be elevated or on the platform of devotion. At one point in the purport, Prabhupada says, we'll repeat it again when we get there, but best is just hearing and chanting. That's all we need to do. However, if there's very strong propensity to do something, do activity, then dedicate that activity, joined with the hearing and chanting process, with service unto the Lord. Bhagavad Dharma. That's what we're hearing in a summary fashion here. And the verse begins, etat samsuchitam brahmanks. Samsuchitam means suchi, brahmanas, decided by the learned. Samsuchitam. Prabhupada points to this at the end of the purport, saying this isn't just like, prattle. It's not idle talk. This is the conclusion of learned personalities, and Narada is confirming. It's his opinion. It's the conclusion of learned personalities. So what is it that they concluded? The conclusion is the last line, Brahma, karma brahmani bhavitam. Karma, prescribed duties. Brahmani, unto the Supreme. Bhavitam, that should be dedicated. And who is that Supreme? Ishware Bhagavati. That's the personality of Godhead. Dedicate everything unto the personality of Godhead. The message is similar to the message of Bhagavad Gita, Yad Karoshi, Yad Asnasi, Yad Shahosi, Dadasi, Yat. What's the rest of the verse? Yet tapasyasi Kaunteya. Who knows the verse? Yeah, tatkrasha madarpanam. Arpanam. Arpana means offering, worship. We can worship Krishna, or by offering things unto him. We can offer fruits and flowers and leaf and water, but we can also offer our activity with love and devotion, and Krishna accepts. It's the consciousness behind the activity that's critical, that makes it fruitive or liberating. Because there's some ideology that says anything you do is going to cause you problems, so don't do anything. Karma sannyas, become a renunciate, just give up activity. Or another says give up the fruits of activity, and here is dedicate the activity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy have their discussion on the goal of life and how to achieve it, Mahaprabhu asked that question. And one of the suggestions made by Ramananda Roy is yat karoshi yat nasi yat jahosi tadasi yat, which in one sense it's devotional service, in another sense it's karma yoga. You dedicate the activity unto Krishna, in one sense, is karma yoga. Because one may or may not have a correct understanding of what our own identity is. And the verse that's accepted by Mahaprabhu is, whatever your activity, you stay in that activity, but engage yourself in hearing and chanting. Perform your prescribed activity. Engage yourself in hearing and chanting. The emphasis is going upon hearing and chanting, which is all of the previous verses. This verse and the ones that follow it should be understood in context with what came before it. What came before it is a very intense program of hearing in the association of perfected souls, and the progressive elevation of consciousness to the point of attachment to the Supreme Lord. In that state, with that, by that means, then dedicate activities to the personality of Godhead. So here's the translation. O Brahman of Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activity to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Varnashrama Charavata, that nice verse from Vishnu Purana, where the goal is also said, perform your prescribed duties according to Varnashram, that Mahaprabhu also rejected, saying it's external. Because one can do the behavior but not be in the right consciousness. Right consciousness is what's essential, and when one is in right consciousness, then appropriate behavior will be there. So therefore, external. It's not wrong, it's just insufficient. It's not yet describing the state of consciousness. So, why does the Bhagavatam have in it what appears to be, one might say, karma yoga? Or for that matter, why does Krishna have that in Bhagavad Gita? Because it's an essential. When one is fully Krishna conscious, one will do this too. You do all the things mentioned in all the previous verses, and you'll do this too. Like Lord Brahma in Sri Brahma Samhita. He had realized completely the personality of Godhead. Completely. And he exhibits his complete realization through the wonderful verses of Brahma Samhita. And then he did his work. He didn't go to the office and, you know, sit behind his computer, but he created a universe. And he did that in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't like, you know, mixed devotion. It was pure devotion. He's a pure devotee. But he also did activity dedicated to Krishna, universe creating activity. We do some little, you know, thing over here on the side. But that little thing can be in the same platform as what Brahma did by creating the universe, if done in the proper consciousness. The means to awaken that proper consciousness has been described. And then, having attained that proper consciousness, continue with your activity. So, tapatraya chikitsitam means to remove, or remedial measure. Tapatraya, threefold miseries. The Prabhupada outlines them. Same language is used in the introductory verses of the Bhagavatam, tapatrayon mulanam, from the root, they're uprooted. The process of devotional service, when performed in the or on the stage of pure devotional service, or on the platform of devotional service, pure devotional service, it uproots threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are pertaining to the body and the mind. So it uproots them because one no longer gets a body or a material mind. That'll be a nice relief. And other living entities, because existence in Vaikuntha doesn't have the existence like here. And the demigods have no influence in the spiritual world. Adiatmika, Adidaivika, and Adibhautika kleshas are absent in the spiritual platform. So, Sri Narada Muni personally experienced that the most feasible and practical way to open the path of salvation or get relief from all miseries of life is to hear submissively the transcendental activities of the Lord from the right and bona fide sources. So all the previous verses are leading to this position, attaining, opening the door or opening the heart to realization of Krishna. Okay, then now what do? Once you've realized Krishna, you do what you do for Krishna. The entire material existence is full of miseries. Foolish people have manufactured out of their tiny brains many remedial measures for removing the threefold miseries pertaining to body and mind, natural disturbances, other living beings. The whole world is struggling very hard to exist. Out of these miseries, maybe it's meant to say exit. Okay. But men do not know that without the sanction of the Lord, no plan or remedial measure can actually bring about the desired peace and tranquility. Now, Prabhupada is going to say the same thing in five different ways, but it's the same thing. The same thing is, so people want to be happy, and they don't want to be unhappy. They want peace, and they don't want misery. So they've got misery, and they want relief. So they're going to try this and try that, make remedial measures. But whatever the remedial measure is, without the sanction of the Lord, no good. Then he gives examples. The remedial measure to cure a patient by medical treatment is useless. if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. So we got a medical problem, just get some good doctor and good medicine. No, if not sanctioned by the Lord. Good medicine, good doctor is still ineffective. So let us not forget the sanction of the Lord. So dedicate the medicine, good physical, good physician's care in service to the Lord. Next, to cross the river or ocean on a suitable boat is no remedial measure if it is not sanctioned by the Lord. We're on this side, you want to get to that side. Get a good boat, suitable boat. No good if it's not sanctioned by the Lord. This problem, that problem, even with a suitable boat. Make all perfect arrangements. No good without the sanction of the Lord. And then extend it, the rest of material existence. Here we are, wanting to be happy, and we're finding misery. I'll make a solution. No good without the sanction of the Lord. Okay, I got the message. Dedicate things for seeking the sanction of the Lord. Yeah, now you got it. That's it. We should know for certain that the Lord is the ultimate sanctioning officer, and we must therefore dedicate our attempts to the mercy of the Lord for ultimate success, or to get out of the obstacles on the path of success. Okay. Now, how does that apply to the previous message? What was the last verse that we ended up with yesterday? Narada was saying something about the energies of the Lord. What was it that he was saying? Can you remember? Yeah. Okay. That he certainly said that. Let me read the verse. That prior to the last one was the one before that, where he was instructed confidential, most confidential knowledge by the Bhaktivedantas before they left. Then this one is, by that confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of the Lord. Who is the Lord? The creator, maintainer, annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. And then this verse, where it says, dedicate everything to the Lord. So in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining the connection. That the key word is energies. The creation, maintenance, annihilation, that's his energies. And we're moving through that creation and doing devotional service, doing what we do for Krishna. So if we have our attention fixed on Krishna, then we can understand how his energies work. If we don't, we won't. We'll be struggling very hard with those energies, trying to be happy in a position that is not happy. It's not going to happen. Prabhupada writes, the Lord is all-pervading, all-powerful. Note, all-powerful. His energies are fully under his direction. Omniscient and omnipresent. He is the ultimate sanctioning agent of all good or bad effects, energies. This effect, that effect, good effect, bad effect, however you want to identify it, it's under his direction. They're his energies. We should therefore learn to dedicate our activities unto the mercy of the Lord and accept him either as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of God. It does not matter what one is. One must dedicate everything to the service of the Lord. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, etc., then he should employ his learning to establish the supremacy of the Lord. Try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Embedded right in the middle of the purport. So, Vyasa is a literary person. We're not. We're something else. Whatever that something else is, dedicate that something else to the service of the Lord, and all the while the advice that's being given is, while we're doing our service, understand it's the energies of the Lord. He's the sanctioning agent. Without his sanction, we can't lift our pinky. We can't blink our eyelid. We can't breathe. He can take away all those abilities and we can't do anything. So if we're doing something, it's the energies of the Lord acting by his sanction. Let us dedicate our activities, our blinking, our lifting of our pinky, and whatever we do, unto the service of the Lord, with his seeking his sanction, seeking his mercy. That's the indication. It's an expanded version. It's what the Bhagavatam does, is expands the message of Bhagavad Gita. Perform your prescribed duty and always think of me, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, well, how do we always think of him? Engage oneself in hearing and chanting. And engage oneself in dedicating your activities to him in that way you think of him. That's what's coming up in the future, the upcoming verses. He's going to say that. By this means, one will think of him. You can say it the other way around also. You become attached to him and you'll think of him while you're doing whatever you're doing. So the hearing and chanting is meant to be combined with prescribed duties. Prescribed duties are meant to be performed in consciousness of Krishna. You can take it from either end. Devotional service doesn't mean stop activity. Although it looks like activity is binding. That was the problem for Arjuna. Oh, I don't want to do this battle. So many reactions. I'll be the cause of so much bad. I shouldn't do anything. Karma tyag. I'll just give up my prescribed duties. Krishna wouldn't let him do that, or wouldn't instruct him to do that. Don't give up your prescribed duties. You think by performing your prescribed duty, by doing this battle, you'll incur sin. I tell you, if you don't, you incur sin. If you neglect your prescribed duty, you incur sin. But if you perform your prescribed duty for me, you won't incur sin. Even something that is otherwise sinful. Killing is sinful. So, I'll read this sentence again. While doing that, we're being advised in this verse, connected to the previous verse, is try to study the energy of the Lord in every sphere of life. Here's how Prabhupada expands on that. Do not decry him or try to become like him or take his position simply by fragmental accumulation of knowledge. Examples. If one is an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, etc., one should try to establish the Lord's supremacy in statesmanship. Fight for the cause of the Lord as Sri Arjuna did, so on. Similarly, if one is a businessman, an industrialist, an agriculturalist, etc., you're Vaishya, you're earning money. So whether you're a Brahmana, it's going down the line, Kshatriya, Vaishya, okay. Does this principle apply to Vaishyas? You bet. Because you're doing some prescribed duty according to the duties of a Vaishya, and there's some earning. Now what do you do with that? That's Krishna's energy. You dedicate it to Krishna's service. Think always that the money which is accumulated is the wealth of the Lord. Wealth is considered the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the Lord is Narayan, the husband of Lakshmi. Try to engage Lakshmi in the service of Lord Narayan and be happy. Very simple, huh? Energy of Krishna. How are Krishna's energies working? If the focus is upon Krishna, then you can understand how his energies are working and how they're to be properly interacted with. Lose focus upon Krishna and you're bewildered. And you're caught in the tapatraya, the threefold miseries. That is the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. Then he makes a comparison. Put up here, best is just hear and chant. It's okay, can't do that. Then perform prescribed duties in consciousness of him. Here's how he writes it. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of the absence of such opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord. Everything for which one has specific attraction. I like this. Okay. See how you can engage this in service to Krishna. I like that. Okay. See how you can engage that in service to Krishna. Some things you can't, but when appropriate, engage that in service to Krishna and combine that with hearing and chanting. We'll go back up again. Best just engage in hearing and chanting. In case that's not convenient. And that is the way of peace and prosperity. And then he concludes, as I said, he does some suchitam that means this is the conclusion of perfectly realized persons, learned, very vastly learned persons. One shouldn't think this is just idle talk, some sentimental babble. It's conclusive. The verses that follow just carry the same message. I'll read the verses just so you get the flow. Oh, good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? You know, indulgence in milk can create a problem, disorder of the bowels, and so some other milk product can cure that. But one needs to know the application. So, in other words, it may look like, oh, why you want us to do work in order to get free from the bondage of work? Seems like we should do no work to get free from the bondage of work. But when applied therapeutically, it doesn't further aggravate the complication or the disease. Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Now, how to use this thing, this tendency to work, tendency to do something where it's not binding, but it's liberating. Teaching is being given. Whatever work is done here, in this life, for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service of the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. And then what sustains that principle? Hearing and chanting. While performing duties, according to the order of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers him, his names, and his qualities. By dedicating the thing unto him, one remembers him. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudev, along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. So the to repeat something I've been saying, this section of the Bhagavatam is very important because it sets the standard for what the rest of the Bhagavatam, which Narada is instructing Vyasa to compose, will be about. Like, you know, what's the composition? The composition is explaining to people of the world how to do that which you have the natural tendency to do, and in such a way that it comes to the platform of transcendental loving service to Krishna. And is not binding but is liberating. Is not on the material platform but is on the spiritual platform. The principles are being enunciated here. And then the Bhagavatam expands that message. You're tired. Okay. Any discussion? Yes.
I tend to sort of observe the world as a sort of hostile place.
It's a hostile place. It's a hostile place. Therefore?
Well, I was thinking in terms of, you were saying that we should see the energy of the Lord.
Yeah. But it's hostile. It's like being... Prabhupada gives the example of a law-abiding citizen and a criminal. And they see a police officer. How does a criminal look at the police officer? And how does a law-abiding citizen look at the police officer? Good day, officer. How are things? Oh, very good. Oh, that's nice. Thank you for protecting us so nicely. It's hostile place because people that make it up are hostile to the will of the Lord. The material energy it's like, you know, the being in a prison is not friendly. It's hostile. But, you know, we broke the law. We were rebellious to the authority of God. And so we have reason to be, you know, concerned about the place where we are. But to see things as the energy of the Lord, so the energy will act, you know, one way or another way, depending upon how we regard that energy. How we regard Krishna will determine how we regard that energy. So then the other example Prabhupada gives, the governor can walk through the prison house and he's not a prisoner. He can grant amnesty to prisoners. And he himself is not a prisoner, although he's in the prison house. That's, you know, Krishna, when he comes to the material world, is not one of us. But one who is part of Krishna's entourage is also not in that position. They can move about the material world, and it's, you know, it's hostile in the sense that if one is inattentive, another example is the razor. A razor is not hostile. It's just a razor. But in the hands of a vicious person, it's a weapon. In our own hand, if we're inattentive, it's dangerous. It's not hostile, it's just dangerous. So be very careful when you have razors. even safety razors. Be very careful. You cause inattention, you got blood all over the place. So, in that sense, be very attentive. Because where attention goes, that will determine how the energy will work. Krishna is in control of that energy. Let's say, you know, we're getting in our car and going to wherever we're going. If we're inattentive, it can be very, very dangerous, fatal. Or, you know, at least big time painful. And costly. We're just going down the road in our car. But we have to be attentive. And in a devotional mood, the attentiveness goes to Krishna. And then we can see how his energies are working, and, you know, it's fascinating. Even when things are going, you know, kablooey, it's fascinating. Just see, I was just sitting here, and all of a sudden, you know, everything disintegrated. It's amazing. Krishna is amazing. And then all of a sudden, you know, things get integrated. Wow, Krishna is amazing. Anything else? Yes.
Well, you mentioned that you have to have the consciousness of Krishna. And you know, there's this verse which describes the culture, you know, somehow or the other, one can find this.
Yeah. The price is, pay whatever the price is. Get it. So?
So, considering that, is this only available with devotees?
No. Well, anyone's eligible, but so one can be, go from a non-devotee to devotee. The price is faith. That's what Nityananda teaches. Take Krishna. All you have to do is have a little faith. Here's the holy name. The price is faith. Okay, where do I get some faith? And from those that have faith, you get some faith. And by acting in knowledge, you get faith. Okay, where do I get some knowledge? From the scripture, guided by authorized persons. Okay, where do I get those authorized persons? Where do I get the scripture? They're provided. Krishna sends them. All you have to do is want them. Krishna sends them. Then one gets faith. Anything else? Can you speak a little slower? All activities which support the mission of the Lord, it's called devotional service. You like that phrase, don't you? I do. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's holistic. Speak slower. Sure, you have to apply your intelligence. That's why Krishna gave it to you, to use in that way. Do you chant your japa that fast too? How long does it take you to chant 16 rounds? Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. You have the answer to your question? Yeah. And it's good. In fact, it's necessary, more than good, that you check, like, you know, verify. Does this connect with, you know, does point A connect with point B, if I understood it correctly? Seek verification. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.